Hi, and welcome to a new episode of the Evolving Media Podcast. My guest today is Steve Coulson, the creative director at Campfire. Now, we could obviously talk about the genius work they've done with projects like Ted Lasso, Resistance Radio for Amazon series, The Man in the High Castle, Westworld, Game of Thrones, or a huge number of other amazing projects. They're really good at storytelling and crafting stuff that engages people, turns out. But we're not going to talk about those projects today. Today we'll talk about something that dropped a few weeks ago. The AI-powered graphic novel Summer Island that Steve created and released a few weeks ago. We'll discuss what artificial intelligence really means for the creative world and how we as part of this world, the creative world, can best harness the possibilities. It's a fascinating subject, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
I have been working at Campfire, and now I actually am a co-owner of Campfire, since 2007. For anybody who doesn't know, Campfire is a marketing, boutique marketing agency, and we work with brands and franchises to introduce new products or new franchises, entertainment franchises, to audiences of fans to help build that fan base earlier, and do that through telling stories or narratives across multiple channels. I don't think we ever thought of ourselves as a transmedia company, but certainly our work has trodden the transmedia space for many years. And over the years, as media has shifted and changed, so has the kind of work that we do changed. You're right. We helped launch the first seasons of True Blood and Game of Thrones and Watchmen, Westworld, as you say, The Man in the High Castle for Amazon. We've worked on Ted Lasso, The Walking Dead, and also products like Sonos, Lego, Infinity Cars. The work has really had a very broad kind of spectrum, everything from audio dramas to immersive experiences, theatrical experiences, to influencer packages that are maybe boxes from another world, Game of Thrones or The Nick or The Alienist, to name a few. As our work has changed and we've moved into, early metaverse work, a lot of experiential work until COVID hit, and then back to more traditional kind of content narrative during that period. We've always been interested in exploring new technology and what that technology can bring to the storytelling process without the technology kind of getting in the way. Although this is not a stroll through Campfire's past work, we did a project for a show called Chasing UFOs, which was on Discovery. I think it was on Nat Geo. There was a bunch of people running around in fields looking up at the skies and seeing UFOs. But we crowdsourced a message to aliens on social media and Twitter, and then went to Arecibo telescope, which was now gone, but it collapsed, but was the largest telescope, radio telescope in the world, and beamed these messages from humanity out into space. And that was quite, there was quite a lot. I remember at the time that being quite a difficult project for us technically to achieve. It's not, you have to think about how you encode tweets as into outer space. But the story was really simple. It was a really simple story of everybody here. It was almost like that Dr. Seuss book where everybody in the kingdom tries to shout out into the space so that they know that they live on the dust bowl. And it had quite a profound effect on a lot of people, wanting to reach out to the stars and send a message of hope or terror to whoever's out there. And I think that's quite a good example of not using a piece of technology just for the sake of technology. When you work for an agency, a lot of clients will give you the brief that they just want something that's never been done before. which, to be honest, is why I always call it the world's laziest brief, because it's really easy to do something that's never been done before in a sense. But is it good? Is it worthwhile? Do people care? So exploration, our exploration of different technologies is about, well, how can we use this to tell a story in a new way? But the important thing is the story, not the technology. So that's kind of one of our core tenets on storytelling. Arthur C. Clarke, said that thing about any sufficiently advanced technology being indistinguishable from magic. That's our playground.
So you made quite a splash nowadays with a foray into something that's been becoming increasingly interesting and increasingly talked about over the past few months, working with artwork created by artificial intelligence. You had the DALL-E in the spring or in late last year, and you have things like Midjourney, etc. But tell me, what made you start looking into working with artificial intelligence and using that as a tool to creating the art that you then used in your graphic novel that we'll talk about in just a minute?
Well, I'm sure you'd like myself, my social media feed is definitely filled with artists, filled with explorers of new media, new technology. And probably like you, a lot of early AI art. I don't know if I really want to call that art. But that's a long discussion about whether it's art or not. But a lot of artificial intelligence generated imagery started to come across my feed. DALL-E, as you say, was one of the first I started to notice. And the barrier to entry is incredibly low. It's something literally, it's Midjourney specifically is a chatbot, for want of a better word. I mean, you access it by Discord, so there's a little bit of a technological hurdle there, but it's really easy to sign up and start generating images. So, I mean, literally, as we talk about this, there are people listening here who could sign up and be generating a ton of images before the end of the podcast. So it's a low barrier to entry, which is my favorite kind of technology, because the learning curve is initially very low. As anyone, I think, that tries Midjourney, specifically Midjourney is my favorite of all the models I've tried, it becomes highly addictive very quickly. Because again, it's that Arthur C. Clarke thing. This Midjourney really feels like magic. I've described it as the world's best text adventure game with an AI dungeon master that never runs out of ideas. You sit with your computer and you type, or your phone. I do a lot of my Midjourney work on my iPhone. Create a text string, press the button, and sit and wait. The artificial intelligence will spit back some options at you. It's when you first start, it's nothing less than mind-blowing. It's a tech, because you look at this, and even if you've been on the cutting edge of technology for a long time and seen these kind of advances, you immediately realize this is a different paradigm. And I think you spend the first 48 hours just rethinking the possibilities of storytelling using that system. So that was how I dipped my toe into the water. And this was in July. So it was early. It was early days in a sense, because those systems really only just came out over the summer. And I joined a Midjourney Facebook group, and there were, a few hundred members of the Midjourney Facebook group, all people trying to explore new things, showing what they produced, talking about how they were created. In a couple of months, that group has expanded, I think, to 160,000 people, all generating and posting art. It's overwhelmed. my Facebook feed, to be honest. And that's just one place. So it's the popularity and the usage of those systems has increased exponentially. And the other thing that's really happened is that the technology is changing exponentially. I literally have been doing this for a couple of months, and I'm not an artificial intelligence, professor. I'm not a computer science engineer. I'm just a storyteller and a dabbler. In the time that I've been doing this, the technology has changed so dramatically that the images I'm generating now are so superior to the images I was generating a month ago that it's all that they're obsolete. And it really feels like that's going to continue for the next weeks and months. Every 30 days, we're going to see just a new version and an advancement of these tools. It's quite staggering, actually.
Tell me a little bit about Summer Island, which is your graphic novel. I mean, you started out doing your trying out Mid Journey, and I agree with you fully, by the way. It feels like starting to use Discord is a much bigger technological hurdle for someone than starting to then use the Mid Journey AI bot. But Summer Island, could you give me give us some of the background about your graphic novel? What is it, and how did it come about?
Sure, I'm a long term comic fan since I was a child, reading comics for 50 years of comics reading. So I always loved the form. I'd never written a comic story before. Partially because I'm not a graphic artist, so I knew I couldn't draw this thing myself, or I didn't have the time on top of my other duties to put in the 10,000 hours or what is necessary to become an expert artist. And even though I've worked with a lot of artists, even comic eyes over the years on projects, this was a personal story. It was not something that I had funds to pay an artist. And drawing a comic takes a lot of time. There's a reason why these comics are slated way in advance, because artists take more than a month to draw a comic that comes out once a month. So you have to kind of start way in advance. So after some experiments with Midjourney in the type of art styles it could create, and let me tell you, you see a lot of, especially with DALL-E, you see a lot of photographic work, and these systems are really good at creating photographs. But they're also really interesting when you ask them to create a Renaissance-style painting or a 1900s cabinet card, or if you think of it, often you can engineer a really interesting simulacrum of the real thing. So I started to wonder at that point. I thought, well, there's a way to take this technology beyond just an individual image and to do some sequential storytelling. Could I tell a story sequentially? It didn't really matter about the story. I wasn't thinking too much about the narrative itself. I said, let's just get going. It's often easy. I'm sure you found when you have a project to overthink it before you're starting. And it was something that was really immediate. Allowed me just so one night, dive in. So the first thing I created actually was what I call a photo series called Summer Island, that was a photojournalism exploration of, without giving too much of the story away, about almost like a Wicker Man style, if you've seen the Wicker Man style Scottish community, very remote, worshipping a pagan god. And I specifically set out to see if I could create a photo series that felt like it had been shot in a village in the 1970s. And So I researched a little bit, as I do, and looked at film stocks and said, well, I want it to look like it's shot on this particular Kodak film stock and in this aspect ratio. And from this kind of visual point of view of a life photographer visiting this island and documenting what was happening on it. So I created a photo series, 40 or 50 photographs, and put those out and got a really good reception for those photographs. People loved the story. I think it was one of the early examples of sequential storytelling. Because there's an awful lot of people creating, you know, a portrait or, you know, Kevin Bacon with a banjo or whatever it may be. I just, I'll be eating ice cream. So I think this is one of the early versions of kind of the sequential story that took place. And as you looked at the story unfolded, and that got a really good response. I don't think I've put that up on Instagram, but I will put it, I'll put some up on my Instagram and link you to the Instagram at the end so people can go and explore Samurai. And then when I got to the end of the story, I said, oh, now let's test the flexibility of the system and let's see if I can tell the exact same story, but in a completely different format using the same system. And that's where the genesis of the comic Summer Island began.
For people who haven't tried out something like Midjourney, it's basically, it's a Discord server where you chat with an AI bot and you give them prompts, what kind of image you would like. And you can tell them to what the image should contain, but also what style you want it to create them in. And then you get suggestions, which you can then ask for variations for, or upscale to bigger, to greater quality, so to speak. In your work on Summer Island and these images, was it like a long process for you to get into how the AI system worked?
No, it was immediate. Anybody who tries this will understand how to use this thing. Well, it's the first 80% is easy, and then it's the last 20%, or the last 10% maybe that's the difficult piece, which is getting it to give you exactly what you want. You know, you can get some great results. I could go in and ask comic art as an example, and go and ask for a great piece of comic art, and it'll spit out a piece of comic art as if it's the world's, you know, I think of Midjourney as the world's fastest and most obedient art forger. But if you want something very specific, like a specific style and a specific look, and you want that to be continuous across a series of images, that takes some experimentation. Luckily, it's easy to experiment. Working with Midjourney is also a bit more call and response, by which I mean, you know, if I was writing a comic book, I would, because there's a lot of work for an artist to go off and create 30 pages of art. So I would probably work on the script quite deeply and lay out each page, what the characters are like, what the narrative flow is, what the beats are, where I want my splash pages, etc. And have that almost finished before the artist sat down and time was allowed to draw. In this case, I was, you know, I was experimenting and generating some panels and starting to lay those out and seeing what came back. And as it did, the story changed and adapted and evolved. And it was much more like improv jazz in a sense. We knew the theme I was going for, but as you know, I would put a prompt out and something surprising would come back and I would, oh, that's great. Let's run with that. And that's kind of how a lot of the story evolved, through it's a little Dada, really, in a sense, through call and response to this machine. And there's a lot of pareidolia. I hope I pronounced that correctly. There's a lot of seeing story in random patterns, I think happens with Midjourney as well. So being able to perceive that story and intuit it and then follow it through. And that was kind of the process I used for Summer Island.
And then you released this, your project Summer Island, for free for people to peruse at their own leisure. And what would you say the feedback has been? I've seen comments on different platforms, and you got pros and you got cons, but no surprises caused a little bit of a stir, I would say. Or what's how do you feel the reactions have been?
Well, yes, different responses from different communities. All those people exploring Midjourney, very positive response, because I think they understand the challenges and the opportunities for this kind of platform, and were very supportive. You know, the interesting thing about Midjourney is because it's a fairly open community. You can go to midjourney.com and see every image that's been created by them, or virtually every image that's been created by anybody on that platform. There must be millions of images. And you can click on any of those images and see the prompt that generated it. And then you can literally take that prompt and cut and paste it and go and try it yourself and see what you get. So it's as if your favorite restaurant or your favorite tiki bar published the recipe alongside every drink or meal. You could go try it yourself. So very positive. The feedback from Twitter and from artists and art communities was very different. A lot of artists very concerned about what this technology will mean to their livelihood, and quite rightly so. And I think I did anticipate it, but it was stronger than I expected, and it's been a very interesting dialogue. I mean, I don't want to go into this too deep, Simon, but you know, another one of Campfire's tenets has always been that while immersion is difficult, immersion is a really difficult thing to achieve and to hold. Because so many things in this world come to distract you. So one of the keys to immersion is to think like a forger, not like an artist. I always tell my art directors on projects, even going back to that Game of Thrones box that you talked about, to think like a forger. We create something that's so like the real thing that you can't tell the difference. That Westworld thing, right? If you can't tell the difference, doesn't matter. That we take a lot of pride in forging authentic objects as part of our work. And I think that's a different mindset to think like a forger than to think like an artist. So what Summer Island is really is a forgery. It's a forgery of a comic book. Surely Midjourney can create art in any style. But very specifically for Summer Island, wanted the comic to look and feel like a traditional comic. In a way, that's limiting the system. It's limiting the system to hand-drawn imagery. I limited the system to black and white, desaturated kind of gray wash imagery. And I think Midjourney sometimes wanted to just overcompensate and give me these beautiful, beautifully drawn pieces that would cross the uncanny valley. So it was designed as a forgery, and I think it's quite a successful forgery. And again, anybody, you can download this thing. It's online. It's for free. Hopefully you'll include a link for the podcast so people can go download it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I think it's actually quite a good forgery of a comic book. And I think that is what scared comic artists, young comic artists, the most, because because the existence of it revealed a threat to the natural order of the world of commercial illustration, the world of photography, the world of graphic art. So I understand why I got a very negative attitude from a lot of them, and my heart goes out to anyone who's a commercial illustrator and anyone who's a photographer, and because I truly believe that this is a fundamental societal change in the way visual images are created. It's the future has come, and it's come so dramatically quickly that none of us were expecting anything. As one of my explorations, I spent a morning generating food photography, burgers. How realistic a burger? I'll put some of my burgers up on Instagram as well. I'll give you a link to my Instagram feed. You can see some of the burgers. Now, I literally spent 2 or 3 hours generating pictures of burgers. But by the end of it, I had a Big Mac that looked, and for all intents and purposes, looked and felt like a Big Mac. And now I understand the food photographers were there with their tweezers putting the sesame seeds on the bun in the right way, and Midjourney often got the order of the patties wrong and didn't put on the relish and onions. But that was me with a computer and just some text, and it took me an hour to get a decent burger. And if I can do that, then that puts... What does that do to food stylists, to photographers, to art directors, to photo retouchers? There's a whole industry around just that one thing, right? Food photography. And I think it's about to be completely and radically upended by somebody sitting there with typing text.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, what excites me about this is kind of the democratization of... further democratization of storytelling. You know, you're going to get more stories out for good or for bad, but there's no putting the genie back in the bottle regarding AI art, if you want to call it art. One thing that struck me is that perhaps this will also be a liberation for artists. My glasses might be way too rose tinted regarding this, but it might be. I mean, if you as an artist, what helps you is now that you become the greatest creator of prompts for AI, and then you have all these different versions, and then you put your own finishing touch on the art that makes it actually really yours, but it just can exponentially increase your output as well. If you work in this area, this might be a little bit too optimistic, but one thing that I was wondering about, I mean, one true value of working with an artist, as I see it, in whatever field that artist is the collaborative nature of it. Did you ever feel like you were that you missed that collaboration angle to this process?
I don't know. That phrase, I was moving fast and breaking things just to get something out. I mean, the comic took me 3 weeks to put together in my evenings, weekends, spare time. It was a personal project. And I put it out, and I think it's been out now, I would say 2.5-3 weeks. And already the technology has jumped dramatically so that the image that I can create now will be so much better than what I did then. So that's yes, amazing. So I miss the collaborative process a bit, but, you know, and I have lots of collaborators that I work with every day, but that can sometimes slow down the process. This was just something I could literally do on my phone between meetings. I could set off a bunch of prompts and they were in the background. I would come back and take a look and regenerate that. I mean, if you're a Midjourney member and there are different levels, different tiers that you can pay for. And I went for $30 a month tier, which I will tell you is the best investment I ever made in a video game in my life. $30 a month, and it's given me more joy than any video game I ever played. And that, you know, you throw a prompt out in what's called relax mode, and it can take you 3 or 4 minutes to get the image back. So it's not in one sense it's a fast process, but another sense you just let it roll. And you roll and roll and roll and keep rolling. I've been a Midjourney member for 2 months, and I think I've generated over 12,000 images.
Amazing.
Today, and that's a lot. That's a lot of imagery, and a lot of those were for the comic. I think probably for the process of that 30-page comic, I must have generated over 1,000 images. well over 1,000 images to get exactly what I wanted. I would, you know, I knew what I wanted for certainly the splash pages, the large images. I wanted them to have a certain look, a certain feel, certain camera angle. And I would generate 40, 50 images maybe, and then go through as any editor does and hand select down. And there was very minimal. The other thing I would say, there was very, very minimal Photoshop work. It does help if you, right now, it does help if you know Photoshop and you can fine tune the images. But I made that, anybody could have made that comic that I made with literally taking the photographs. I laid out the comic in Keynote, in Apple Keynote, and did all the lettering in Keynote. It was very low technology bar, and then published it out as a PDF. So it's a low bar, and anybody can jump on it almost immediately.
So you said that if you did the Summer Island comic today, the AI has evolved so much now in the past few weeks that it will be a much upscaled version, a better version than before. So where do you see this whole ending? I mean, are we eventually going to be just feeding into the Netflix or Netflix or whatever you want to call the service, feed prompts into that one where you get home in the afternoon and 10 minutes later it spits out the feature length movie that we want to see with the prompts we've given it? Or where does it all end? I mean, where is it? What's the ultimate nirvana for this kind of creation?
Oh, I think you hit on it exactly. I think an old friend of mine who is probably well known by the transmedia community sadly passed away, Brian Clark. Mm-hmm. Brian Clark would have absolutely loved this technology because the capacity for it for pranks with this thing is incredible. He would have loved it. And, you know, he got very excited about the start of digital photography in the very early days when you would take a picture and it would be this small postage stamp and you look at it and you would go, that's never going to fool anybody into thinking it's a real photograph. Digital photography will never replace film. I remember thinking that back then. And Brian would get very excited and go, but you have to understand, this is the worst it will ever be. And I think about that phrase an awful lot. I think about Brian an awful lot in my work, but I think about that phrase specifically. Whenever somebody will come and say, looks at a piece of technology and says, well, no, it doesn't look exactly realistic, or, you know, oh, it will never create a piece of film of the quality of Citizen Kane. You have to look at the technology and say, right now, today, what you see is the worst it will ever be. So, apply that to everything and apply that to an add exponential change onto that. So what do I think? I have no idea what's going to happen in 6 months. I do know that this, whatever we see with Midjourney, is going to be radically better in 30 days than it is now. If you have a project and it takes more than 30 days to create, you'll be working with an old version by the time you finish. So that's the one thing you have to think about your process. Secondly, I absolutely think you're right. One of the comments I got from the artists in the community was from a storyboard artist who said that his 20 years of learning to craft a storyboard had just disappeared overnight, his livelihood, because now any director could go to Midjourney and use it to create a storyboard. And my reaction to that, and I think I put this out on Twitter, was that you're thinking way too small, because, yes, he's absolutely right. I can do storyboards now. There are artists doing storyboards with Midjourney, and that will only get better. But the next logical step is taking a 90-page script and feeding it into a machine and getting footage back. It's going to start. Yeah. That's going to be nascent at first. It's the same with anything. It'd be the worst it will ever be the first time you see it, and you go, "Oh, this would never replace a movie." but then it'll get exponentially better until it does. And at one point, you know, you'll feed a 90-page script into a movie and it will spit back at you scenes with actors and dialogue. And so it's not just storyboard artists. There's a revolution coming to the art industry, whatever that art may be, from 2D to 3D. That's the same as those guys that used to make models of spaceships and what happened to them after Jurassic Park. It's a radical reshift. You know, Campy for a while was embedded at the mill. All these CGIs doing incredibly complex and detailed CGI work. Oh my God, I would never invest in that kind of business anymore because that's going to be completely democratized. So yes, I think sooner than you think, we will see text to video. That will lead to script to film. That will lead to inevitably suggesting an outline of a movie and having options to think from. And ultimately, you're right. Will Netflix generate movies based on my playlist? And I suggested that, you know, Netflix should ultimately, if they haven't already invested in technology like this. I mean, I know they do. There's a lot of AI going on Netflix in terms of selection, but for creation, absolutely. And it sounds horrifying. You say, oh, well, you know, a machine will never make Citizen Kane. I don't know. I don't know if that's true, Simon, because this is the worst it will ever be. Now, I don't know what that means for the rest of us. I mean, you know, back in the day when you talked about machines taking away the jobs of people, that was always the utopian ideal, right? Nobody's going to have to work in the future because the machines will do everything and we can retire to a life of leisure. And all these artists worried about losing their jobs. What should really happen is that you shouldn't worry about your jobs, because if the machines are doing everything for us, we can spend our life doing what we want. But then you're talking about capitalism and universal wage and some of the things that inherently not in our system. But yeah, I have my kids are growing up, and the world that they're going to grow up into is completely different. Would I send my children to art school? I don't know if I would anymore. I don't know. I mean, and this is all in 2 months. This is just me radically thinking about the implications for the future. And you know, being a futurist can be a scary thing.
I mean, if I was Disney or some other player, big player, I would splash a couple of billions on Midjourney today, and say that okay, this is how we're going to do stuff, and this is our absolutely. There's no question about it.
I'm sure Disney are deep into artificial intelligence. They have a few.
Must be.
I was looking outside. They have a lot of AI engineers working for them. So yes, it's coming. But corporations never quite move at the speed of independence, right? It will come from the independent sector first, and then eventually it will work its way into mass production.
Finally, this might be a rhetorical question, but will you continue doing this, or was Summer Island a one-off?
No, I'm already working on a follow-up, and I'll put some of those images up on Instagram as well, so you can actually compare the last set of images I created for Summer Island and some of the advanced images for the new thing. I think exploring visual storytelling is part of my DNA and part of Campfire's DNA, and I think... you know, this, as with all the things that we try, this will probably move from personal project into a client project sometime in the near future, which should be another exciting opportunity. And I did an interview with an animation magazine. It wasn't, uh, uh, and uh, and a, we talked a little bit about the advertising industry. If you're in the advertise, if you're a big agency and you're not paying attention to what's happening, you're going to have a radical change to your business model in the near future. If I was a chief creative officer of one of those big agencies, and I used to work at a big agency, I would be insisting that everyone in my creative team is becoming adept with these systems, like today, encouraging sure. that, giving daily prompt competitions, because that future is coming much quicker, and anybody who's not paying attention is going to be dead in the water. So that would be the one thing I would say. If your business relies on the production of imagery, get started immediately and try to catch up.
And with those comforting words and very good advice, I thank you so much for your time, Steve, and I look forward to what you're going to create next.
Fantastic. Thanks. Have a nice talk.